Good morning. Hi, this is the second day of a very special week for us. Lots of old friends of mine and yours, too, are with us this week. The occasion is my 30th anniversary with CBS. 30 long years under the lash. Well, when you're a guy like me and you have a strong back and a weak mind, there's no particular place to go, you know. We had a wonderful show yesterday, but wait till you hear of the lineup today. I'm on my right over here, beginning with this very astute gentleman right close aboard here, is Pat Buttram of KNX in Los Angeles in New York to do a Smiley show.
Well, I've done that now.
Oh, you've done that.
I'm yours now. I figure anyone can stay at CBS 30 years, he's got to have a lot of talent or be Arthur Hull Hayes' brother-in-law. I don't know which you are.
I'm both, but no talent. And next to you is that lovely lady of Pepsi Cola, who has got a can of it with her in a gorgeous old rose dress today. Is that old rose?
We call it cyclamen, I think, Arthur.
Cyclamen. It's just beautiful. And that's the queen of movie land, Joan Crawford in person, who came over here with us today. In New York, I suppose, on Pepsi Cola business?
Well, I'm always putting the crowns on the bottles, no matter where I go. By the way, congratulations to you on your 30th anniversary. I'm so pleased to be a part of it and to share it with you.
What makes me mad is that we had to wait for my 30th anniversary to get together. This is the first time you and I ever worked together.
I know, and I'm delighted. Thank you.
And for at least, let me see, you started about 10 years ago, and ever since that time, I've been a devoted fan of yours.
Thank you.
You don't tell people they've been around all the time.
No. 10 years ago.
10 years is enough. Now, of course, that fellow sitting next to her, that's something else.
Oh, how sweet it is. I wish you were telling me. I'm a cyclamen, too, I'll tell you that.
Joan, really, is that the color cycla?
Cyclamen.
How do you spell it?
C-Y-C-L-A-M-E-N.
Wow, sounds like something in electronics.
Yes, it does.
And what do you call the color of the vest that the great Gleason is wearing?
Powder blue.
Absolutely. That's exactly the color, powder blue.
Did he stamp his foot there?
Yes. If you know how much powder I blew to get this name.
Well, you can see it's going to be a very dull program. And next to Jackie is Rosemary Clooney, straight back from the islands.
Yes, happy anniversary, I think.
Thank you, dear. And we're glad to have you back in New York so the show could open.
Oh, you're talking about the newspapers?
Yes. Well, he came back a few days earlier.
Of course he did.
Yes.
He did. But how wonderful
I
to see
that's
you.
A riot.
It is a good show, yes, Jack. The girl who came to supper?
I thought it was the other thing, the marathon.
Oh, no, that's June Havoc's show.
Oh.
She was here yesterday.
Terrible confusion.
There is a difference between June Havoc and Joe Ferrer.
No, just a little, yeah. What causes that confusion?
I don't know. Well, up to now, all I've been drinking out of is an ashtray. I don't know. I thought you were noted for, great celebrations. I've been drinking ashes near an hour and a half.
Once Jackie was on a show with me, and during the course of the conversation, he warmed to the subject, and he said, Arthur, you know, it's a pity you don't drink.
I would like to see you with one good load.
No, you wouldn't, because I get very ill.
Well, that's all right.
You know, Arthur, they say when Jackie walks from his dressing room, they call it the champagne flight.
That's Pat Buttram. Next to Rosemary Clooney is a very dear, sweet friend of all of us who's been with this network, I think, as long as I, perhaps longer, and who wears the sportiest jacket today I've seen in a long time, Mr. Lowell Thomas. Welcome.
Arthur, it's 34 years, but instead of congratulating you, I'd like to sort of be an interlocutor, and won't you tell us the story of your life?
Thank you very much.
Man. Now, maybe they'll bring some booze in for that. I'm going to sit around for that, Arthur. I say we got to have some
Next to Lowell Thomas, whom I last saw in a hospital room in Dearborn, Michigan, looking almost as well as he does now. Next to him is the former vice president of these United States, our dear friend Mr. Richard Nixon, who does us great honor to come today. Nice to see you, Dick.
Nice to see you, Arthur, and I'm glad to be here in such distinguished company. This is a fast track.
It is a fast track, and we're going to have to slide words in here very quickly.
Certainly is a dry track.
I can offer you tea, that's all. That's all I have. And some Pertussin cough medicine.
What does that guy on the commercial says? I prefer something. I prefer booze. I know.
There's lots of mud on the tracks I've been on, but...
Dick Nixon and I have one thing in common. You know what it is, Jack? We don't wear hats, either one of us.
Well, I don't wear a hat either.
You don't either?
No.
Good. But mine's not always in a ring either, is yours?
No, it's usually in a bar. No, I don't wear a hat. I think first of all, it's very costly to wear a hat. Especially if you live like I do. I go to 50 or 40 bars a day, and 25 cents a piece, that adds up to... it costs you about $40 just to check hats.
That's one of the things about it. One of the things I don't like to wear is a Stetson. I mean, you know, those big hats. I don't mean the nice little Stetson hats, but I mean those big cowboy hats.
I wear a Stetson, Arthur, and I left one on a barroom stool in Saigon, and I got a letter from a doctor in Louisiana saying that he was now wearing it and wasn't sending it back.
I can't keep him on a horse. That's your only...
If I saw a Stetson in Saigon, I'd figure a medicine man was sitting under it.
Next to Mr. Nixon is Richard Hayes. And next to him, Dick Nixon, you haven't met him. I don't think Jackie has either, or maybe some rest of you haven't. That's Rufus Jarman, who is a senator at large from Las Casas, Tennessee.
Well, Arthur, this suit of mine is black. In honor of your 30th anniversary, I generally wear it to funerals and fifth Sunday meetings of the Baptist Church in Tennessee, but I brought it out in honor of your anniversary, and I'm mighty glad to be here with all these distinguished people.
That's very nice.
That's a good accent, isn't it?
He works hard on that one.
Whatever he said, Arthur, I guarantee it's a compliment.
Next to him is Billy Dupree, who has one of the most gorgeous voices you'll ever hear. We'll ask him to sing a little later. But look, we've got quite a stunt hooked up here. Out in Hollywood in KNX, where Pat Buttram usually performs, in a studio sit three distinguished gentlemen of the medium. One Harry Von Zell. Are you out there, Harry?
Yes, Arthur, I am here and very happy to be a part of this celebration of your achievement. It occurs to me that, incidentally, that there are congratulations in line in two directions here. First, to the people whose decision and confidence in your potential put you on the air at CBS some 30 years ago. And second, congratulations to you for so adequately justifying their judgment and fulfilling their hopes.
That's very sweet of you. When I heard him doing those things for George Burns, I never figured he could make a speech like that. Isn't that beautiful?
They've got writers out at the coast.
isn't that the one you sent me, Arthur? Well, I'm basking here in the reflected light of two men of great achievement.
Whom I wish you would introduce. Qualities. Introduce them for us.
Well, sitting opposite me is my lovable boss of the television series, George Burns, and over here to my left, a fellow for whom I have the utmost admiration and respect and affection, one Art Linkletter, probably the most gifted men of gab I know in the whole world.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Harry, and hi, Arthur. I'm joining this group of straight men for Jackie Gleason. So far, it sounds like...
Oh, you're so good.
So far, from this end, it sounds like a meeting of the New York AA. We all know about Jackie, and of course we read about Richard Nixon getting stoned in Venezuela.
Oh, come on. Burns, you haven't said anything. Come in, George.
Well, I don't think you need me at all. I heard you fellas in New York. You've got a whole fanchion of Marco unit back there. And you're doing a lot of drunk jokes, and I don't drink. I smoke. I drink a little bit. I smoke a lot. I drink a lot, too.
I smoke a lot.
And Joan Crawford is back there. Charming girl. I danced with her once.
You know, Arthur, what kills me about a guy like George Burns, who says he never drinks, who's been using his cigar as a straw for years.
Now, the only reason that I smoke is that at my age, I've got to hold on to something. And Arthur, I want to congratulate you, too. I know that you've been in this is your 34th anniversary.
30th.
A 30th?
This is 30th with CBS, George.
30th. How long have you been in show business, Arthur?
40 years this year.
40 years. I won't tell you how long I've been in show business, but you can get me a glass of water.
Arthur, speaking of congratulations, I have some telegrams that I would like to read to you, if I may.
This is Richard Hayes.
One is from the White House in Washington, and it says... I want to join with Arthur Godfrey's countless friends in honoring him for the 30 years during which he has contributed his talent and devotion to broadcasting. His name and his long record have been closely identified with the history of broadcasting, and he has brought pleasure and joy to many of his fellow citizens with every good wish, and it's signed Lyndon B. Johnson.
That's very nice.
Now, Arthur, from now on, you're going to wear a Texas Stetson.
Not necessarily, because I have another one here. It was sent to William S. Paley, the chairman of the board here at CBS, and it says, I hear that my good friend Arthur Godfrey is celebrating his 30th anniversary in show business. May I ask you to convey to him my congratulations on the success he has achieved and the courage with which he has defeated the threat of dreaded disease upon his life. Please give him my best wishes for a happy, healthful, and successful future. And it's signed Dwight D. Eisenhower.
So I still have to wear the hat? Isn't that nice? That's very kind. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Where'd you get those?
I got one here from Jenny Grossinger, too.
Oh.
She says, congratulations.
It has one thing to say. Eat hearty.
She says, congratulations on your 30th bar mitzvah.
She's famous for her pickles.
Hold it a minute. I got a sponsor, thank heaven, named Contact, which one takes when one is silly enough to catch cold. And these days, if you catch cold, you are silly, really, because you can avoid it if you just load yourself with vitamin C. But I'm no doctor, and you won't listen to me, so you'll take cold, and you'll need Contact. Contact capsule. If you take one in the morning, you will be relieved of the stuffiness all day. You won't be sneezing in people's faces and making a thing out of yourself. And at night, it will allow you to sleep because you don't have a stuffy nose. And the sleep and the rest is what cures the cold. But please don't let anybody tout you out of Contact. There must be 100 different cheap imitations of this product on the market. They even make the capsules the same color and the little pills inside look the same, but they're not. Don't let anyone tout you out of the name Contact, C-O-N-T-A-C. Now, in KNX in Hollywood... Is that Hollywood or Los Angeles, Pat?
It's Hollywood.
Hollywood.
There is no Hollywood, really.
Now, the other day I said that to Hedda Hopper, and she chewed my ear off. She said there is a post office now, Hollywood.
Well, yes, but when you put a letter in it, it's... stamped Los Angeles.
I happen to know that there's a Hollywood because I was the mayor of Hollywood for 2 years and negotiated the non-aggression pact with Beverly Hills.
Arthur.
Yes.
I wonder if you and your friends back there and our friends are aware of the fact that George today is celebrating his birthday along with your anniversary.
That's right.
Didn't know that?
Today is my birthday.
Well, greetings to you.
I'm 2 years younger than Jack Benny.
37.
37, yeah.
I thought I'd let you finish that because I'm a straight man.
You've got nothing. 3 years older than Jack Haley.
Jack Haley? No, Haley is younger than I am.
And Richard.
I doubt that.
Everybody. There isn't anybody older than I am. In fact, I can't wait to get through. I'm going home to do a few splits and kick the back of my head.
Oh, my. On the way, pick up a copy of Better Homes and Gardens magazine, will you?
What's in there?
Well, I tell you, 6 pages on the subject of how to be a great hostess. You'll love it, George.
Well, I can't wait. I always walk on my toes.
And you're a great hostess, George.
I am. Can't wait to be a boy again.
This is especially for gals who push the panic button every time company's coming for dinner or it's their turn to entertain the club. To you ladies, I say, don't envy a good hostess. Be one. Better yet, let February Better Homes and Gardens magazine show you how to be a really great hostess. February Better Homes and Gardens. Mr. Nixon has to leave pretty soon, I'm sorry to say. Is that true? Must you go, or can you stay for a few minutes?
I have to leave, but the show is so good, I'm going to stay and listen.
That's a boy. That's a boy.
When else can I hear Gleason for free?
I didn't like that oily remark. Hey, I'd like to ask Mr. Nixon, a question.
Please do, sir.
Are you going to run? No, I don't mean for a trolley or anything. I mean, are you going to run?
Well, you heard what Arthur said a moment ago. I never wear a hat, so it must always be in the ring. I guess that's the answer.
Oh.
I don't know how much clearer you want it, my friend.
That's pretty clear that never wear a hat and don't run in the rain. Why is it such a difficulty to get candidates who are going to run for the president of the United States to admit that they're going to run for the presidency of the United States?
You know, I think perhaps the best answer that candidates perhaps could give, or potential candidates now, was given about 200 years ago by Benjamin Franklin. He was one of the wiser Americans, perhaps the most complete man that ever lived in this hemisphere or in the world of his time. He also was a man who never ran for office, but who held many offices during his life. And these days, you know, we find candidates taking several hundred words. Candidates and potential candidates saying, when they're asked, are you going to run, they say, no, but if this and that, I might, et cetera. Or they say, yes, if, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Franklin said it all in one sentence, and perhaps all candidates in the future, potential candidates, could follow this advice since we're celebrating his birthday this week. He said, I shall never seek, never refuse, nor never resign an office. Now, that covers it all. Perhaps that's the best advice to...
It's a beautiful life. It's
remarkable that a man that intelligent would hold on to a key and get shocked all over the time.
We got to pause on that one for station identification. We'll be right back.
Should have had a contact commercial.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Boy, I hope you didn't have anything to do today that was more important than sitting down listening to us, because out in the West Coast, There's Harry Von Zell and Art Linkletter and George Burns sitting all together out there. And over here in New York, in our studios, are Joan Crawford, Rosemary Clooney.
Lucky.
And Pat Buttram and Lowell Thomas and Richard Nixon and Rufus Jarman and Billy Dupree, Richard Hayes, Lowell Thomas. Did I say them all? Have I got everything?
No.
Oh, yes. Well, the Red Cross just came in to take care of him. He's in better shape now.
My name is Gleason, and that's the reason for a busy season.
You...
You're not going to introduce me, Arthur. I'll do my own plugs.
A big Newfoundland just came in here with a cask under his throat.
Around his neck, and it wasn't a goiter.
I'd love to get you on some decaf for a minute. That's one of my sponsors.
I drink decaf.
Good for you. Can you give me an unsolicited testimonial?
I certainly will. I used to drink regular coffee and get up in the morning and jump all over the place. Now I drink decaf and I can't jump half as high.
But what Jackie means is it has wake-up flavor but no caffeine. Rich, rewarding coffee flavor without the drawbacks of caffeine. It lets you enjoy coffee pleasure without the caffeine penalties. 97% of the caffeine is removed before roasting. Therefore, you can drink it and still sleep. Decaf. D-E-C-A-F.
Hey, Arthur, can I get one thing in? I'm still here. I noticed a moment ago when we were talking about Joe Ferrer, Rosemary Clooney's husband, that there was reference made to a show that he wasn't in. And I only think that a commercial should be given for the show he is in because I saw it with my wife and daughters. It's The Girl That Came to Dinner, and it's a great show, and I hope that all my friends who come to New York go to see it. Now, Rosemary isn't going to like this because she doesn't hope the show runs too long. That means Joe has to be in New York rather than in California with his children. But it's a wonderful show, and particularly for a family. You pardon the commercial?
I thank you very much. I welcome that one.
And
very sweet.
I just can't understand
why a vice president should be a backer of a show. I'm against it.
Here, Jack, back to the ashes.
Thank you. I heard that was a sensational show, and the reference that Mr. Nixon is making to was I thought it was Marathon 33. That June Havoc was in.
You got a piece of that
which
one?
Goes to show you that whatever the St. Bernard brought in is beautiful.
No, June's Marathon 33 is very good, I'm told. I haven't seen it, nor have I seen Joe's yet.
You know what I like about the fact that she wrote a hit show is that she has such a varied career. And to come up and write a hit show, that must be a great exhilaration and a fine achievement.
I'm dying to see what in the world kind of a play you can make out of a marathon dance.
That's it. It's practically impossible to conceive it, but she did it and deserves a great deal of credit.
Have you seen it, Joan Crawford?
No, I haven't. I have some friends who saw the dress rehearsal, and they say that Julie Harris is just brilliant in it, and her facial expressions and her mannerisms are so like June Havoc that you just can't believe it isn't June there.
Julie Harris is a great actress.
She's a fantastic actress.
In Requiem for a Heavyweight. And we were doing a scene on a staircase. And she blew a line. And she was so aggravated over missing the line that she punched the wall and brought some blood from her knuckles. And did it again, blew another line, took another shot at the wall. Then the wall gave up, and she did the line. She is really a dedicated actress and a very fine one.
Yes.
I had a thing happen to me once.
That's George Burns in Hollywood.
I did a skating act at the Dewey Theater on 14th Street. It was Brown and Williams. And in those days, the stages were sort of downhill. And we came out on the stage, and I fell into the footlights, and then my partner grabbed me by the seat of the pants, pulled me back. I fell down again, and I got very mad, too. I didn't punch the wall. But the next show, instead of working, facing the audience. I did it sort of on the bias, and I didn't fall at all. And the manager came back and closed me for cutting out the falls.
I think, too, Arthur, in the interest of keeping your audience widely informed on the show world, that we here on the West Coast should inform you that currently playing here is Tess of the Storm Country with Nelson Eddy, a musical version. And the Hollywood Bowl will, in the near future, present a concert featuring Bumsky and June... what was the girl's name, the blues singer?
Quartet.
June
Quartet. Yeah, no, not June Havoc. Well, I can't just remember her name, but she is.
She had no idea they had great shows like that playing out in the country.
Oh, yes. So, we're working every minute out here.
We have our cultural side out here.
Hey, any of you guys going to see Dave Chasen pretty soon?
I'm working with him tomorrow.
Anybody eats there works with him.
Well, they took away my credit card. And I haven't been there recently.
Oh, my. What did you say, Joan?
I didn't know whether he was working with Dave or for Dave.
I'm working for Dave and with him.
Arthur?
I wash dishes and sing.
And Lowell it was Thomas. George's fault that I lost my credit card.
Lowell Thomas.
Would it be out of order for me to do a sort of an imitation of Harry Von Zell and be serious for just a moment?
Of course not.
Well, you know, this is not a prepared speech, and I haven't thought of what I'm going to say. I'll probably get some help from Mr. Gleason in a moment, but...
Undoubtedly.
it just occurred to me that you have become a national institution during these 30 years. You're a good deal like the post office or the National Bank or something like that. And you've done so many fine things for people in the 30 years you've been on the air. I've seen you do it. When I was out in the hospital... You did a number of fine things that day. Coming to see me was one of them, and another was there happened to be some skiers in the room, and they spoke about their problems raising funds for the Olympic Committee, and you did a typical Arthur Godfrey thing. You immediately rose to the occasion and presented them with a lot more money than they ever dreamed of getting, and they asked me today to bring you a plaque from the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And so I have the plaque for you.
Thank you, sir. That's very kind.
The Olympic team that is over in Europe now in Innsbruck has all the financial backing it needs, and part of that is due to your generosity.
Well, cheers.
Nice thing to know.
Very nice, Bob.
That's one of the things that gripes me, Jackie. Maybe Mr. Nixon would like to comment on this for me. Don't you think, Dick, that so often our Olympic athletes are without proper financial support in so many different fields? The equestrians, for example, the skiers that were all just barely made it, the bobsled people and so on.
I hate to interrupt your question, Mr. Nixon, but you're absolutely right, Arthur. 3 years ago, I was supposed to be on the drinking team. And there wasn't one subscription. Nobody come up with a bottle of booze, and I was left at the dock.
But, Jackie, the Olympic participations are limited to amateurs.
That's perfectly all right, because I drink on New Year's Eve.
You know, Arthur, so that we can get in a little commercial for the Olympics... and not make them professional.
You got to slip it fast.
I certainly agree with you, because when you consider the great competition we have, not only with our friends, but with the Russians and the world prestige and the like, the least that we can do is to field the best possible team, and financing for the team is absolutely essential.
Well, listen, if you guys don't go out and buy some decaf, I won't have any more money to give to the U.S. Olympic team. And also, George, you'll be interested in this. Guess who my sponsor is now?
Who?
Your brother, Robert. Robert Burns Cigars.
I'm smoking one right now.
Attaboy. How about giving me an unsolicited testimonial?
I'll tell you, you can't go by me. I've been smoking a domestic cigar all my life. I smoke anything that fits my holder.
I smoke anything fits my mouth.
That's if you can find your mouth.
All I have to do is trace the glass.
Jackie, I resent the laughs you're getting.
Don't resent them, George. There's a lot of, larger audience than this here.
Okay. We're lonesome here. I wish Trixie Hicks was here.
Trixie Hicks is here.
No, here with us.
How is Gracie? Oh,
Gracie is fine.
Please
She's
give her...
home fixing hamburgers.
Please give her our love, will you?
I will. Thank you.
I wish she'd come and sit with us someday. And
I can't, Gracie, to sit. I can't get her to sit with me.
Pastor Pickles, will you? Aunt Jane's Pickles are our sponsors now. Anybody want to do an unsolicited testimonial on a pickle?
I certainly do.
You're a pickle man.
I take them for colds all the time.
Well, the thing is, about Aunt Jane's pickles, Jackie, that there are thousands of kinds of pickles on the market. I want you to try the Aunt Jane pickles. They're a sponsor of ours, and they're a very excellent food. They're mighty tasty. I don't know if they're any better than anybody else's pickles. I like them. They're just as good as anyone's I've ever eaten. And I think maybe you might like to try them because they're one of our sponsors. And I think you'll find they're delightful, especially the kosher, the Polish, and the no garlic. Those three flavors especially. They're pickles that you can stock in your refrigerator. And you let them chill a while, and then you serve them with lunch or dinner. Or if you have a mind to, just grab one out of the pickle jar whenever you get the urge. You see, when they're chilled like that, Aunt Jane's are really something. Aunt Jane, can you remember that name? Aunt Jane's Pickles. Thank you.
With all these unsolicited testimonials, Arthur, I think I should add a personal note about you. After all, you're the guest of honor today. Arthur was way up in the mountains, up in Montana, not long ago for a world premiere of a picture. And while everybody else was lying abed late in the morning, Arthur got up at 3:30 and went hunting bear. Day after day.
No clothes on?
I didn't get up to look.
Arthur's quite a hunter. Nice.
Bears, lions, elephants, he'll go anywhere in the world to take a shot.
Now, who are you talking about? God bless you.
Go ahead, Jackie. There's your line.
You know, that's, wide open.
Wait a minute. Before Richard Nixon has to go, I see him squirming there in his chair. I got to ask him one question. How do you like the business of practicing law in New York, sir?
Well, I sometimes have heard the practice of law not referred to by as a business, but as a... perhaps less complimentary terms. I would say, however, that it's naturally a very interesting activity. And, of course, the greatest interest are those matters which require not only your presence in New York, but in other parts of the world. I would say that perhaps one of the greatest benefits of it right at this moment, however, is that if I hadn't been in New York at this particular time, I wouldn't be here in this studio with you and the rest of your friends. But I'd just like to say before I go that there are literally millions of people around this country that have heard Arthur Godfrey on radio. Some have seen him on television. Many have seen him in person. Most of them he's never met. In his own way, just like the other fine performers here and the ones out in Los Angeles, he's made a lot of people whom he will never meet a lot happier than they otherwise would have been. And I'm very glad to be here as a straight man with all these funny people to pay tribute to a fellow that is a great funny man, but one of the kindest men and the best men I've ever met, Arthur Godfrey.
Thank you, sir. That's very kind. Don't you think it's nice, Richard, that I brought one of your clients today and asked her to be here, too? Don't you think that was kind of astute of me?
I'm just delighted to be here with.
Isn't the Pepsi-Cola one of your firm's clients? Pepsi-Cola.
We're very proud to do some work for that company. Yes. Even though Jackie doesn't drink it, we're proud to.
Oh, you're far from right about that. Oh, Pepsi-Cola is in everything I do. Let's mention a few. Rum and Pepsi-Cola. Scotch and Pepsi-Cola.
All
right. It's a great mixer. Probably a greater mixer than Texas Gun.
Arthur, before I go, I mean, since this is a non-political program, and of course a non-partisan program for every product, I think probably that Joan would agree with me that we ought at least point out that while we're with Pepsi-Cola, that we do recognize that Art Linkletter is with RC and Diet Right, so let's get them just a little line in, too.
And I'm dying out here at all these Pepsi plugs.
You know, I drink Diet Cola.
So long, then.
Oh, it's marvelous.
So long, Richard. Thanks ever
and
so
I drink
much.
A lot of it, too, Art.
Good. We'll have a pipeline brought right into your studio.
Thank you.
There goes one of the great Americans of our age.
Yes.
And how nice of him to come today.
Richard Nixon is one of my oldest friends, Arthur. By a strange coincidence, he was a young beginning politician here in Los Angeles some 25 years ago, and I was a young MC, and we used to appear on the rubber chicken circuit. He'd be doing the serious bits, and I'd be telling the jokes at all the Rotary, Lions, and Optimist clubs, and we've been friends all the way along the line. He's a marvelous man, far better than you might know, unless you knew him as intimately as some of us out here.
I've never had the privilege of knowing him intimately. I have known him quite well when he was vice president, but never intimately,
have you
and
ever
I'd love
played
to.
Golf with him?
No, no. Is he a good golfer? Is he a good golfer?
Well, he plays for like a dollar an asser or something, which immediately makes me dislike him. But he is an honest golfer and a very conscientious one. I think he plays golf exactly as he applies himself to politics.
I wish he hadn't gone before I could have told him that we're straightening out the mess in Los Angeles, the big quarrel between Sam Yorty and the city council out here, which has been so well advertised, is practically over. I heard that last week the city council sent Sam a little peace gift, a carton of cigarettes.
Oh, fine. Hey, George, while you're there, tell me something. You've been smoking cigars all of your life. They are things you enjoy. You don't do that just as a gag, do you?
I smoke about 25 cigars a day.
Do you inhale them?
And no.
Did you ever?
No.
That's why I want you to smoke these Robert Burns cigars, my friend. You hear what George said? He smokes 25 cigars a day. You'd think that would kill him, wouldn't you? No reason it doesn't, because he doesn't inhale them. That's the beauty of smoking cigars. You don't have to inhale. And there's nothing finer than these Robert Burns cigars for the money. The Tipperillos, the Robert Burns Cigarillos, a little smaller without the tip. And, of course, the kind I like are the popular Panatellas, Robert Burns Deluxe cigars. Smoke them, my friend, but don't inhale them. And you'll have all the pleasure you want. Robert Burns cigars.
I smoke a domestic cigar, a cheap cigar. Milton Berle smokes a cigar that cost about $2.
Yeah.
If I smoked a cigar that cost $2, first I'd dance with it.
You know, you told that a little differently than you did at Jack Benny's luncheon. I remember very well.
Yeah,
you know,
that George was SAG luncheon.
George is the greatest practical joker in the business, Arthur. We were at a dinner. I was a toastmaster at a dinner for Phil Silvers a while back, and George was on the dais, and he's always has a great little pixie sense of humor. So we're in the dais room getting ready to go out, and everyone's looking at their notes and nervous about what they're going to say. And George comes up to me, and he said, I've seen you work a lot there and making talks. He said, what do you do with your hands? And I said, I don't know. I never thought about it. He said, I use a cigar as a prop. And he said, Jack Benny, he kind of holds his hands this way. And all. He said, what do you do? And I said, well, I never thought about it. He said, I'll watch you while you're working and see what you do with them. Well, I got up doing a routine, and now I begin to wonder what I'm doing with my hands. I didn't know what to do. Put them in my pockets, hold them in front of me, and blew the whole routine. I couldn't think of a thing to say. And I looked down, and he's down grinning with his cigar in his mouth.
Pat, I'll tell you something. I've been in the show business about 60 years.
Wow.
You've got beautiful hands. In fact, if I wasn't married,
playing
you'd be the fella.
Playing Los Paquins tomorrow.
Playing what?
Playing Los Paquins tomorrow.
It's too bad we don't have a record of one of those Friars Club parties at which... Well, I remember there was a record they got of George Burns, George Jessel, Jack Benny, and myself, and I understand they're selling for around $35 a copy.
No, 32. I've been selling them.
George.
It reminds me of pictures.
George?
Yeah?
Do you remember the the one we had for us? The one they had for me?
When yes.
We spoke of Dr. What's-her-name?
Dr. Mollickson.
Oh, that ought to be selling for $90.
Speaking of movies, Joan Crawford, are you making any anymore?
Yes, sir. You're stuck with me for a while.
Oh.
Straight jacket.
Tell me, what's the latest one?
Straight Jacket, and I start touring the theaters with it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. About 6 theaters a day for 4 days with Dorothy Kilgallen.
Wow. What do you mean, touring the theaters? Do you go and make...
We live in a bus from about 5 o'clock in the afternoon till around midnight, and we do a theater an hour.
Gosh, that's put anybody in a straight jacket.
Art, are you there?
I'm here.
I have a very funny story to tell you. And this is a commercial for you. Recently, I opened a plant, if you don't mind, our plant, not yours, in Muncie, Indiana. And as we walked out to get on the aircraft, our then president, Mr. Herbert Barnett, as I was signing autographs, gave me a cardboard to sign on because it was very difficult in my hand or a purse. And he picked up the cardboard and said, "Here, use this for a table." When we got into the car and driving to the airport... He said, "Don't you want to see what your table looks like?" And I opened it up, and it was the cardboard 15 years ago that said, "Joan Crawford says, please buy Royal Crown."
Oh, pickle, huh?
So Straight Jacket is the new movie. Where may we see it now?
Oh, Arthur, the list was in all the papers this morning.
Oh.
I tour New York area Wednesday night, the Bronx and Brooklyn Thursday and Friday, and then Jamaica and some of the places I've never been before.
But it will soon be released nationally, too, eh?
Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Now that's class, Arthur. A guy like this, who still thinks it's important to go around and plug a picture, that's beautiful.
She's the queen, she is.
She sure is.
Never to be removed from that throne, either. Rosemary, what are you doing in New York?
I can't see you, actually, and to spend a week with Joe before I go to Florida. Arthur?
That's nice. What are you going to do in Florida?
I'll work there at the Diplomat for a week.
Uh-huh.
And then go home to the kids.
Yeah, and you and I were kind of great last night on the TV, weren't we?
I thought we were adorable. Mm. I was on the panel and you were the guest. Yes. Mm.
Lowell Thomas, what are you up to? Are you going to any other continents?
Well, day after tomorrow, I'm leaving for the Winter Olympics, Arthur, in Innsbruck, in Austria.
You know, his doctor told him to slow down a little bit.
Well, they found the diagnosis.
He's going by boat.
They found out that it had nothing to do with the cardiac?
Apparently not. It was simply that I'd gone through too many meridians too fast around the world.
Don't think that won't tear you up. I know it did it to me.
I had left 21 flight crews behind. And you sit in the plane and you don't think that anything's happening to you at all. But apparently something is.
Tell Jackie about the trip you made from Australia across the Antarctic continent in that plane. How many miles was it? 60?
Well, do you mind if we listen?
George, I was just about to ask him about you.
Tell us about the abominable snowman.
You got me all mixed up. Arthur was asking first about the flight. We flew from Cape Town across the Antarctic Ocean, then across the Antarctic continent, over the pole, and then we finally wound up in New Zealand.
It was the first time that a plane had ever flown from Africa to the Antarctic. And that was 4,700 miles nonstop. And one thing that made it unusual was, first, we flew over unknown territory that man had never seen before. Second, we flew in the only plane in the world that would make the flight, because we had to land on skis when we got to the Antarctic continent.
That's
what a long trip. Mm.
That's very, very interesting, Lowell. You know, out here we have a very extensive system of freeways to handle the extensive traffic, and I had to take the same route recently to get to Long Beach.
Oh, my. Well, hold everything, because now having dispensed the pickles so successfully, boy, what commercials I've been doing today. Now we come to breast of chicken tuna, which comes from San Diego.
Breast of chicken tuna.
You've got enough of pickles.
George, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't be found dead without breast of chicken tuna.
Hey, Jeff.
I'm going down the street making sandwiches.
Don't worry about it.
Chewing it up.
Listen,
just love it.
I got a new drink for you.
Did don't
you
tell me I'm going to drink some smashed up breast of chicken tuna.
No.
That catches in your throat a little bit. I don't care what kind of a wearing mixer you put it in.
Did you ever drink cranberry juice?
Oh.
Do we have to?
Certainly I have. As a matter of fact, that's very good with vodka.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. You put some vodka in a glass of cranberry juice and you've got a delicious...
Lethal weapon. Arthur, I'm telling you right now, I know you for quite some time, but I bet you're a devil. I can just see you with your cranberry juice and vodka going full tilt. No holds barred.
In my powder
with your vest all stained from the spill. Cranberry juice. Every day is Thanksgiving for Arthur Godfrey.
This is the way it goes, folks. Every morning we carry on just like this. These people are listening to this show at night now, and they're understanding that this is what we do every morning at 10 o'clock on the CBS network. It's been great, been wonderful. I didn't think we'd get everyone in with the terrific roster that we have. I don't know how to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to come and pay me this great honor. You, Miss Crawford, I'll never forget for this. I hope we can do some more things together.
Thank you, and congratulations again.
You are even lovelier in person. Lord, she's a pretty thing. And Gleason, so are you.
Arthur, I consider it an honor.
Rosemary, bless you. Thank you. And may you and Jose be so happy.
Thank you very much, Arthur.
And Lowell Thomas, stay rugged, boy.
Same to you, Arthur.
Gee, he's
you're
wonderful
doing it.
The way he does it. Well, we stick to that cranberry juice. Richard Hayes and Rufus Jarman and Billy Dupree, you didn't do much today, but thanks anyway for coming. We'll do better tomorrow. And for you three gents out there in Hollywood, I don't know how to say thanks to you for being so nice. I know it's early in the morning for you.
Well, Arthur, I, for one, am very grateful to you in the deepest sense. I think you have contributed greatly to keeping this industry alive. And without it, I'd be dead.
And, Arthur, a lot of nice things were said about you today. After all, nobody was under oath.
And Arthur, congratulations and stop dancing.
Okay, George. How about you, Pat?
I just want to say to George Burns and all out there, it was nice working against you today.
See you tomorrow, be the good Lord willing.
Today's interview was edited to comply with time requirements. This is the CBS Radio Network.